Today is Wednesday, November 28th, 2023. This is part three of a Grand Canyon oral history interview with Alice Talakte. Alice spells her last name T-A-L-A-K-T-E, and I can hear some echo in the phone, which is happening with everyone in the Page, Arizona area, which is where I'm calling Alice. Good morning, Alice. How are you today?
Oh, I'm fine.
Great. Alice, may we have your permission to record this oral history over the telephone?
Yes.
Thank you. Alice, you really kindly sent me some information about some things that we covered last time but missed. Could you start with that information?
The information was meeting Mel in Leipzig.
Right.
My future husband-to-be. Well, at the time, the first time I met him, I didn't know that.
Okay.
Well, he's just gotten back from Germany, from the campus, and he's got to go to the district during the Vietnam era. And I was invited by my sister and her friend to go to a dance. And, of course, I'm not exactly good to dance or anything like that. But anyways, I didn't have any proper clothing to wear, no shoes, even though I work. But it's why I work, because I had no shoes. So she said, we'll let you borrow our clothes.
Okay.
So I did. Yeah. At the Flagstaff Armory Depot, that's where the dance was. It's a Western dance. And I'm not exactly a fan of the Western activities or events and things like that. I love horses, but not. I've been out of school and away from a lot of public activities for years because I came home and stayed with my mom. But anyway, so that's where I met my sister was dating another guy, and who was with this fellow. And I got introduced and come to find out they were cousins. And so Mel and I got to talk, and he was kind of shy. And then we got to dance, and of course people had left feet, so we were walking all over each other.
Hmm.
So that was like funny. I was like, no, this is not going to happen. But anyway, we started talking, and that's how we met. And then we went to, there used to be a college where the college kids got together by the university there.
Okay.
At AU, and it was called the Yaya's. And that's where we went for snacks and food with hamburger, of course, and then he gave me all his onions and his pickles and tomatoes. And I kind of looked at him and said, don't you like that? That's what makes a hamburger good. He said, no, I don't eat those stuff. So I ate all of the vegetables that he gave me. And that's how we met in 1968.
Nice.
And I was working, at that time I was working at the Western store. The Western store, you know, I cannot remember the name of it, but it was owned by the uncle to Fred Dominic, who used to be the general manager at Babbitt's at the Grand Canyon.
Okay.
But anyway, so that I worked for them.
Was that Jeans Western Wear?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. That's the one. I couldn't think of it. Nice, yeah.
Yeah, downtown Flagstaff.
Yeah, just right down the main street.
Yeah, okay. Oh, fun.
Yeah, so, but anyway, and that's where I worked, and Mel was back working at Babbitt's, the store, and East Flag. And since he didn't have a vehicle, so it was, they lived on 4th Street on the north side of, or he has a town, so but he didn't walk to work. So he didn't have a vehicle, and sometimes he'd borrow a vehicle and come pick me up, and, you know, pick you up in the evening. So that's how we met, and then we stayed together, and we got married in September.
Nice.
And our son was born the following March.
And what was his name?
Jonathan.
Okay.
Yeah. And he's our only child.
Okay.
By then, we were living in an apartment known as Clark Homes, which is, you know, the new rental and all that stuff. So.
And the Clark Homes are on the west side of Flagstaff?
Right, right near the Armory, where I met Mel.
Right near the Armory, right.
Yeah. And but anyway, so we lived in Flagstaff for a couple of years, and then he got the Babbitts, the main manager from Phoenix, asked him if he wanted to transfer to Page. No, wait a minute. Let me take that one back. Well, Navajo Generating Station, right near Page, was going on. So just Adam said, why don't you apply for it? And he did apply for it. And he was called to Page, he would get a job. And so we moved to Page, and he did get a job as a start training informant to be a train operator. But you know, Mel, he is a very, very independent. He doesn't like clothes in because he liked working in the store, meeting people and all of that stuff. Where he said there, he found out it was just kind of like being clothes and just didn't particularly care about the job. So he went back to work for Babbitts. Now, was the assistant manager here in Page.
Okay.
So, and then...
So that would have been about 1970?
1972.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you remember who the manager was at the store?
What's his name? You know, I don't remember. I remember the face, but I don't remember
okay.
the name.
Okay.
Her name.
No worries.
I usually think of it later. Say, oh, yeah, that was him. Yeah. But anyway, he was their assistant there. And I started looking for a job. I was an Avon lady in Flagstaff. And then I continue here in out of Page.
Okay.
And I traveled as to the reservation right nearby through the men that are working, their wives have either moved to Page or on the rest where they live, and they order from me. And sometimes they put in a pretty good order, so I was making some pretty good commission.
Okay.
But anyway, and then I started looking into other avenues, and just by chance, I went down to the clerk service office and inquired about a job, and said, well, come back and talk to us again in another week. So I did. And I was hired as a seasonal and a couple months later.
Hey, Alice.
Pardon me?
When I think of the Park Service buildings in Page now, they are on the west side of Highway 89. Were they in the same place then?
No, that's a fairly new one. And their office at that time was in Walwheat.
Oh.
And and what is now the Ranger Station. Small building right there, right near the Walwheat Lodge.
Okay.
Yeah. So I... went to work at the Carl Hayden Visitor Center.
Okay.
Yeah, for the summer. And I really liked the job, so, you know, and then I started thinking, is there a way I can get a permanent job? I like to pay for it. Anyway, I worked seasonal there up to 1990.
What were your duties? What did you do there?
Well, my duty was kind of like, at first there was just, we didn't have the type of activities that the Park Service started having later on. We just have the visitor information. I work at the visitor center, and it was just talking to visitors, and then we have a tour of the Glen Canyon Dam.
Okay.
And every now and then we would take the tour. We'd take the visitors out and tell them about the history behind the construction of the Glen Canyon Dam.
Okay.
So that was kind of fun. And I think one of the best part that I had was that coming back after closing through the long haul, and I don't know if you've been down on the elevator to the dam?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, when you're coming back, and if you speak loud, it's really loud. So I like to sing, and I would sing coming through the hallway because it vibrates and it sounds pretty neat. But anyway, so I enjoyed my job, and I did everything just to get a permanent job. I applied for work at a library, scrub toilets and bathrooms and stuff like that. I was seasonal, and I was dispatched for a while too. And then anything that came up, you know, I went to the administrator there, and says, I would like to take that job. So these were all temporary, maybe some lasting some time, more than a couple months or 3 months.
Can you, Alice, can you tell me about what you recall about being a dispatcher?
What, I'm sorry?
About being a dispatcher?
Dispatching?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, but anyway, one of the chief ranger that I got to know asked me if I want to be, it was just kind of a relief dispatching. And I said, okay. So that's why I went. And it was kind of fun. Sometimes, this was like at the after my seasonal job was over, which was usually in September.
Okay.
And so I was there. And we can have some pretty bad weather in the fall.
Mm.
One of them was just calls coming in, you know, people like yelling, where's the ranger? We have this issue and that issue with our boat, or where are we? And it was kind of like stressful in a way. But I kept my cool, and things are called rangers when they need it. So one day, somebody came in with a cup in his hand. And he was very calmly said, I'd like to see the ranger. The ranger that was there was not in. So I said, well, he'll be in shortly. He said, if you look, he said, he wanted to talk to the ranger there. And I said, okay. So I dispatch him, and he said he'd be in shortly. So this guy had was standing there with a cup in his hand. And when the ranger came in, he said, well, this gentleman is waiting for you to see you. And so the ranger comes over, and he looks in the cup, and he said, the guy said, well, I have this cup here, and And he showed it to the ranger, and the ranger just kind of looked at me and looked back at him and said, well, somebody had cut off their finger.
Oh.
So the finger was in the cup.
My.
He wanted to know if he can, the ranger told him, well, you better take that patient to the hospital right now. And if you can't do that, we'll take the ambulance. He said, we'll take the person. And either he was nearby, near in Cage or something, near the hospital. But anyway, that was kind of a funny part. And they never let me get get that. It was part of her joke on me. So I said, Alice, make sure you check everything before you let people bring in.
Oh, my gosh.
So that became a joke. But I don't think he's the thing he wants to be attached to. It's been passed too long.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a funny point.
So, as a dispatcher, I would think you would pretty soon become familiar with all the different parts of the lake.
Yes. Well, I was, as a seasonal, we were able to take the boat out on the lake. So, coming to work, I didn't know how to swim, and I had to learn to swim.
Wow. How did you learn that?
Well, we were taught, and every year that we, when we come back, we go for a swimming lesson and things like that. And I usually just puddle in the plane of water on the reservation. That's only about maybe up to my belly high. That's about it.
Okay.
So here it was. The lake was rising at that time. So, but it was close to 500 feet behind the dam, the depth of the water. So I used to think, oh my God, I don't know how this is going to fight around. They'd never find my body.
Mm.
But anyway, so I learned how to swim, and by that, we would have another ranger take up. We'd take the boat out, and then they'd throw the life jacket into, we were out of the boat, and they'd say, men overboard! And whoever she points at had to jump in and try to save the life vest.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was familiar with the canyon because I'd been up, and then my supervisor at the canyon also had, after I learned how to pilot the boat and all of that, he asked me if I wanted to check some of the old trails and the ruins up, and I was able to take a day out on the lake. So I began to explore the side canyons.
Ooh.
So that's how I'm familiar with the canyon. And then at times, the archaeologists would be coming in, and I'd be the pilot, and I have to take them out on the lake. So that was a fun job.
Fun.
Yeah, so checking the trails, and sometimes I would have to check some of the old Mormon trail from Escalante across the San Juan River.
Okay.
I took some seasonal with me one year, and we dug in, put in the new posts, guide posts on the trail. That was some. So I really spent maybe a day or overnight or two nights. So that was fun.
That was the hole in the rock.
Yeah.
Trail.
Yeah.
Going to Bluff.
Yeah, going to Bluff, and so we did the trail there. Put in new posts in. On the trail.
Nice.
Well, at that time. I'm sorry.
I was, no, go ahead, please.
No, I was just going to say that at that time, I think the Park Service had money because my supervisor would say, okay, just get the groceries you need for this amount of time, and so I go in and buy my grocery, charge it to the government, and out on the lake we go. So I have watched the water from where it was low, when you have to hike to Rainbow Bridge, and when you have to hike in some of the canyon. And my favorite canyon was Navajo Canyon.
Okay.
There on the reservation side of the lake. Anyway, so I used to hike back in there.
And that has some really nice narrows up in there, huh?
Oh, that's beautiful. And I saw some of the trails. From the prehistoric times.
Wow.
Just your Pueblo land put the trails in, and then the Navajos put the trails in so they can take the sheep down to the river.
Okay. Yep.
So that was kind of fun. That was really fun.
I'm just thinking, when you did that work on the hole in the rock trail, putting in the posts, did you do that with Alan Malmquist?
No, Alan Malmquist was, I think he was stationed down at the at Lee's Ferry.
Okay.
Or he flew down, him and his wife.
Okay.
Yeah, I knew Alan and his wife pretty well. So, since he was one of the seasonal ranger would be stationed down at Lee's Ferry.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was up late, and it was fun. And then one time I took some of the archaeologists up to the Escalante. They were going to look at one of the sites. And during this time, there was a site that they found that they had a lot of ancestral Papuan artifacts in their pots and all that stuff. So we have another Navajo lady that was working with the archaeologist, not the archaeologist, but she was just kind of like just an overall Navajo site of the concerns with the Park Service and all that. Her name was Pauline Wilson. So when they were deciding what to call that site, that cave that had there was a lot of prehistoric guns in there.
Okay.
And cow dams, of course, they start using them. So they asked her, said, what shall we name the canyon? So she named the canyon Pachon. That's what is known, that cave is known as Pachon today.
Okay.
That name is the
That's pretty neat. The the you mentioned the dung in the cave.
Yeah.
I think some of that is from long time ago, and those animals are now extinct.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, so she named that cave, and it's kind of funny, because she told me that. She said, you did what? Your name, what? Oh, well, the Park Service accepted me. So, hey, that's kind of pretty neat.
Huh. Wonderful.
Yeah. Anyway, I took the archaeologist out there, and while I was hanging around, at that time we were looking for another site where they hike up the canyon, and I decided, well, I'm going to go back. So I was walking back, and there's some wild cows in there. And I was walking, and I didn't see them before that. I've seen them, and we went out. And I was coming back, and all of a sudden, there was a bull standing right between the cows and where I was walking, standing like they're watching me.
Uh-oh.
And I was like, okay. So when he started walking towards me, I took off, and there was a gully on my right side. So I decided, I'm just going to run into the gully. Now, I didn't think about what if he came down. I have no way of pulling up. I didn't think about that. So I jump into the gully and run out. And then I said, God, I can't get out now.
Oh, no.
Yeah, if the bull comes down and comes up to me, that's it. So that was another kind of an experience. Yeah.
Were you a permanent employee by that time?
No, I was still seasonal.
Still seasonal. And Mel is still working, managing general, or assistant manager at Babbitt's?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And so those are the funds. And then another time that I had to spend the night on the lake because I was also checking up another trail that I was asked to check on San Juan River. And there was a big landslide there, a rockslide. Just to see what it was like around the edge and up through the rocks had fallen into the rock. Of course, it's kind of difficult to tell since it went way down. Anyway, I had spent the night, so I was going back to my camp, or to the boat, It started raining. And so I jumped into this small cave, and I was sitting there. And I look around, there were spider webs all over. And then I look again, and there was about, I don't know, scorpions.
Oh, my.
And they were hanging in there, and I'm going like, okay, just don't move. It kind of, the rain slows down. And after that, I jump up and get my clothes, took them out, and then I went back to the boat.
Oh.
Yeah. So I have all these unusual and kind of like funny experience.
Tell me some more.
So those are the things I did, and then I went up to one of the sites, and if I can think of it, it's up on the San Juan River. And they were checking that, they renewed that site. We tried to repair it, and I went up there. Oh, Defiance Cave. I went up there with the archaeologist, and I look at the floor, and they put sand in there.
Hmm.
And, well, we're going to have any problem with the sand piling in here, or they put them in. And I said, how is it? You have lived in a, and so I've lived in the Hong Kong from my mother and brother built the Hong Kong. They put sand in, but then they put water on it, and then us kids would go in and just pack it down with our feet, just all over it and pack it down, and kind of make that mud into a little bit harder.
Hmm.
And I said, that's what we did. And said, ah, so maybe next time we will do that.
Hmm.
So I just told him that's what we did. And there was something else that I found that I can't.
What?
I think it.
What was the name of that cave?
Defiance Cave.
Defiance, okay.
Defiance, yeah. And then they mentioned another one, but I can't remember that they were going to repair it later on.
Okay.
But anyway, so. Yeah, I got to see some of the ruins that were going to be covered up by the water, and some of the natural bridges in the canyon that I got covered by water after we came to Fuji.
Okay.
So I seen the canyon, Glen Canyon, and the river when it was coming up, and during Fuji. And now I am here, we don't have that much water in the lake anymore, so it's kind of funny.
Mm.
It seems like I live through all these experiences.
What do you remember about the big water of 1983?
The big water?
Yeah, when the dam... When the water went over the spillways of the dam.
Yeah, I was there, and the water came out, and every time when there's enough strong breeze, you could feel the water would come, the spray would come up, and if you're on a group, with a group on the tour, you know,
wow.
Wet. Yeah, it was fun. So, yeah, and our visitor center just kind of shook every day. So one time I took my mother in there and have her see the water and everything else. She was standing there and she looks at me and says, the building, she said in Navajo, the building's moving. And I said, yeah. And so she called it the shaky house after that.
Oh my gosh.
So this is something I wanted to do, send it to you. So that was kind of funny.
Yeah. Huh. The shaky house. Were you still doing tours down to the turbines, or did they stop that?
No, we just went down to the top of the dam.
Okay.
We didn't go into the turbines. No. It was. We did go down into the turbines. I mean, this is as a group.
Mm-hmm.
To show us what's happening down there. And I believe a lot of us were running and stuff like that, or sinking through the concrete.
Yep.
Yeah. It was interesting. Yeah.
Do you remember who the superintendent was during the 1970s and 80s?
Let me see. The first superintendent that was there is who? I know that Bill Olson had been there, but that was later. The superintendent there was, I kind of have trouble remembering names because I don't see them, so...
Right.
I never really had that close association with them other than some chief rangers, and some of them were there for a long time, and some of them just came and went. I can't think of the first superintendent.
Remember Joe and Judy Alston.
Yeah, and then there's Ted Reynolds and Susan.
Okay.
That was much later. Oh, gosh, I can't think of the name. There's been some changes in the two different superintendents.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got to go on training, to other parts in southern Utah.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was really interesting, Zion and Bryce and...
what kind of trainings?
Well, these are the trainings that we that would be related to our jobs, about learning about the ancestral Papuan people, or about the sites or the terrain, the areas, and then of course they give you all this. A bunch of management stuff too. That was interesting.
Nice.
And then I was stationed, later on I was stationed for the summer down at Reef Scary. I loved that because I hiked everything and well around in the Fight Canyon. The trails that the Spaniards came down.
Mm-hmm.
And through trail, and then on the other side, there are some Navajo trails. I've only been on a couple of them.
Okay.
There's a few more. One of them is coming off from the cliff right up, directly across from the launch pad is still there. And right across from on the other side, that's where I hiked. And came up on Highway 89.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How long did that take you?
I pretty much hung around all day if I had a day.
Okay.
On my day that I did. And so those are some things. And then on my days off, we had a dog, and we always just rescued dogs, and this dog could turn up to be kind of like some kind of a... she's not a lab, but she's called WS anyway. My sister, they were born in a hole. The mother dug a hole,
and
the puppies in there. And so everybody took the puppies, and I usually take the peony-ish looking one. And it turned out to be a pretty good dog.
Nice.
And I would hike with him. And it's really funny because when you were up late, going up the river, right across from Lee's Ferry.
Right.
From the launch ramp. I would park on the other side and follow that old trail to the launch site. And we were walking, all of a sudden I heard somebody yell, "There's a wolf here!" And it was my dog.
Huh.
Yeah, so... yeah, I enjoyed it and went to a lot of places, and I hiked into some of the woods, like canyons, around these scary. Something was scary, and I used to go in there, and it looked like some of these big slabs that are sitting out there, which slide. It could ever fall off, and my body would not be
And all this time, John is now going to school there at Page?
Yes, John started at school. Well, I failed to mention that after the Mel got transferred to Chinle when John was about 3. So we lived in Chinle for a couple of years while he was the manager there, and I came back and did my seasonal job, have my mother babysit John, and then I would go back on my days off. So that was quite a delay. And I tried to get a job at Chinle, but you have to know somebody.
Oh, right.
They hire their own friends or somebody they knew. So I never did get a job there.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, so that's what I did. And we were there for what about, John started preschool there. And then when he started that, then we moved back to Page. And so we started preschool from here and graduated from high school here. And then eventually Mel got, he had to travel because he was traveling from trading schools to trading schools. He was a merchandiser.
Okay.
From Associated Grocery.
Okay.
So he traveled all over sometimes overnight trips. He covered pretty much northern Arizona. And then on top of that, in the winter when the jobs are kind of slow, he bowled. And he traveled all over the country for bowling. So he would go, and then 1 year, somebody asked. As a matter of fact, I think it was somebody that I worked with before came by and said, "Are you still married? I've never seen Nelly with you." And I said, "Yeah, you're still married." Because he traveled, so in the winter he again travels to bowling events. He's been to Florida and the Pacific Northwest. So he's a bunch of them that were good bowlers.
Wow.
Yeah, so they owned an own club. And then they also had a basketball team from different towns, like Page and Flagstaff and Winslow, kind of out of the upper reservation. And they won a team they would play on the Reds, too. So he was busy. And I was still working the forces on my days off then, too. With animals.
Wow, so lots of time apart, though. That's tough.
Yeah. And mainly, every time I apply for a permanent job, there's a position opening up for the Park Service, a permanent position, or a term position, I would apply for it. If there were two positions open, I came in first. So, and then finally, in 1995, I got my permanent status. And by then, Mel had went to Grand Canyon to work at Babbitt's store there.
Okay.
And there was something. Area that cut back on the res. So he was threatening. He talked to Fred Dominic and that hired him there. So he worked there up to the time that he became disabled. And then I transferred there the following year. So that, I think that was the music that part of my experience of a really experience. I didn't know too much about the Grand Canyon. I've been down the river a number of times with the park, but other than that, I don't know too much about it.
When was your first river trip?
My first river trip was back in 1978 or 79. It was a fundraising river trip. I think it was sponsored by the Page Library or some organization here in Page, and so I signed up and I was chosen to go. So that was my first river trip.
1978 or 79. Okay. What do you remember about that?
Well, I didn't know too much about the river, and I know a little bit from Leesbury down to not exactly on the rim, because we used to use where the cut is, or the big cut.
Yeah.
Well, on the river site, my family used to use that area in the winter time. Most of the people who live around here at that time did. In the winter time, they would move their stock, their sheep down there, and then come back up because there was water was always available down at Bitter Springs.
Right.
Yeah. So other than that, I didn't know. So I was just amazed to go down the river.
Do you remember any of the people that were on that trip?
Let me see. You know what? There were these people who came in from different places.
Okay.
None of them was local. And then my second trip was the Park Service, which is a level of seasonal. The seasonal went down. And this was probably the following year after my first trip. So, and then after that, Mel and his friends, they were teachers, and they were running rivers, and Mel started running the rivers. So he was not only playing, he was bowling. He in the summertime when he didn't get away, they ran the river. But we had run San Juan River a number of times.
Okay.
So I got familiar with that. From Sand Island to the takeoff point there at the bridge. Not again, that's hitting my night. But anyway, I love river trips, and sometimes we typically have to spend on our own. And we got John, he's really comfy, and he began to roll. So, I think when he was about 12,
okay,
he went down the river, and he was, according to one of the stories that I read from the school news, was that John was probably the youngest one to go down.
Oh, fun!
But he also had that little comfort with him, and he was really in the calm water. And after that, I think he went down with Gary Lett, Gary Lett was on the trip.
Okay.
And after that, they were just like, maybe they two or three trips a year down the river with friends.
Nice.
Yeah. And then they start getting requests to run rivers. Well, we met Gary Lett when he was in the San Juan River, when he was still in Tucson.
Okay.
So he was him and a friend wanted somebody to drive their vehicles back. So a friend of ours contacted Mel and said, "Oh, you know this guy? He can run San Juan River. He needs a transportation, transport his vehicle back to Wabi." So Mel said, "Oh, we'll do it." So that's where I met. And this was, John would be about 7 years old, and they love fishing too, so he was up like still dark at night and fish.
Okay.
Yeah.
Were those river trips with the Lindemans?
Yeah, with the Lindemans, yeah. With the Lindemann and Linhart and then there were usually other friends that from different parts of the country that went to go down the river.
Okay.
And things like that, and so Mel would go with them when he has a friend. So I've been down a number of times and after that. I remember one time, I think I did something to my foot when I was at the canyon. You treated me, put a calf, and told me to leave that calf all the time. Well, we were on the river ahead of you, and also there was a boat in there. This is at the confluence of OCR. We were playing the water. I took my calf off and playing in the river, and I looked, oh no, that's my therapist.
Oh no!
So I went back into that boat and just sat there so you wouldn't notice that I didn't have my castle.
Oh.
In the canyon. It's kind of funny. Yeah. I think it was John's really trip. Yeah. He applied for that and was able to get a permit to go down.
Okay.
Yeah. And I did just a hike around Navajo Mountain where I would get away. When I was, seasonally, I used to go up to Rainbow Bridge, not Rainbow Bridge, I met a Rainbow Bridge, but up to Bang Lady Road. I went and stayed at the old Bang Lady, the boat site at Rainbow Bridge.
Okay.
And if I missed the boat, I had to stay and run up the boat there.
Was that the Rainbow Bridge Marina? What was that called?
I'm sorry?
The Rainbow Bridge Marina? Where they had the dock, the floating gas station there?
Right, yeah. So, man, but the guy who did the cooking worked in the kitchen. He made good food. There was no food there. And, yeah, so I went there pretty much about once a week. And then I did the same thing over after they moved the marina down to Ben Lane. Looked like it that again. And I was there for sometimes a week or 2 weeks.
Okay.
And since I had a park service float, I kind of patrol, kind of like rode out there. Yeah. But I used to think, well, I can swim, but the thing is, I can't dive. If anything happens, I'm going to do it. And I use it fully every morning, and I leave it. Oh, God, let anything happen. So that was kind of fun, too.
How did you manage the winds?
The what?
The wind.
The wind, I just usually park.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I usually park in a slight canyon or just stay in one area. And I did one time went into Navajo Canyon with a lady from, she was a writer for Arizona Republic.
Okay.
And we wanted somebody to take her, she wanted to go into Navajo Canyon. So I took her in there. It was a beautiful day when we left. And we hiked around there and showed around and showed some of the trails and told about some of the stories that I heard from the local people there. And then when we were coming back, the wind picked up. By the time we got into out on the lake, the wind was pretty strong. So, and I look at that lady. Well, Mel told me how you can keep your watercraft on a windy day.
Okay.
I was thinking that the wind was just blowing. I mean, it was just like trying to blow us backwards. And I made it back to the marina. And when I was coming in, I could not drive in onto the deck. And John, the chief engineer here, John Benjamin. And there was a server guy standing out there watching me, yelling at me, which way to go. I can't go. I didn't want to yell something that would scare the lady. She already was hanging on with white fingers onto the side of the boat anyway.
So, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and then John just yelled, Jeff, just jam it and come in here. And I finally make it.
Wow.
Yeah, and she wrote a story about me.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So, and I said, oh, you did very good. You didn't even seem to be afraid. And I said, here, I'll lose you. My heart was pretty much past my lungs, I think.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And a couple of times I ran out of gas.
Ooh.
Because I got too far. I thought I had enough gas, and the gates did not work properly, and lied to me about how much gas I had in the boat.
Yeah.
I'm checking every time, right? Checking everything out before I did. A couple of times I went on the lake, and I called in, and the first time I called in, I was just past, right near Bay 13, and the plane I ran out of gas, yeah, dispatcher named Julie. And I call in dispatch and said, this is so and so, call up my number and said, I am out of gas right now. And then she called and somebody came up and got gas. About an hour later, I got the gas.
Nice.
And they never let me forget that, too. And they told me, that, did you know that if you call from the lake, it's heard all over the park here in the southwest?
Oh, my gosh.
And I said, really? So everybody knows you're out of boat twice now. out of gas twice now. So I worked with some really nice, wonderful people.
Nice.
Yeah. And I enjoyed it, too, so. John was still, and I didn't have a babysitter. My son, Jim Popovich, was his name at that time. He was here for a long time. He would let me bring John in with his groups and everything else he can do. So one day I had to go on the lake, and my supervisor okayed it, and Jim okayed it. So I took him out with me. He thought that was so much fun. This is when the lake was rising.
Okay.
So I always wanted to go into one of the side canyons. And we parked the boat and got out and swam and went into the canyon. And then we came back. The water was coming up like, oh gosh, when it comes up to about 2.5 inches, that's a lot of water for a boat. By the time we came back, my boat was kind of like tied in, but it was still there. And so we tried to get up, but it was, I didn't even have room because it was in the middle of the canyon where I have my boat. So we tried pushing it out, but it didn't work. So we got another hard lock and started chopping down the sandstone, and that's how I cut my boat out.
Wow.
I haven't told anybody that.
Mm.
So, but that water at the end was just really great because everything was just really, so we smelled bad just when we came back. It was some of the silly things I did that my supervisor never found out. Because I knew that I was going to go around and I was getting another thing coming at me that they won't let me forget.
Yeah, when you do good, you get awarded. That's good.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah.
I wonder if this is a good place to put a pause in this interview.
Okay.
Unless there's anything else you want to add to this now.
Other than that, I really enjoy reading for the park down here at Grand Canyon. I learn a lot, and also down at the Grand Canyon. You know, I really appreciate it. And now I've got height, so there's a lot of wonderful memories that I have of my experience.
Nice.
That I treasure.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and conclude part three then of a Grand Canyon Oral History with Alice Talakte. Today is Wednesday, November 8th, 2023. My name is Tom Martin, and Alice, thank you so very much.
You're welcome, Tom. Nice talking to you.